It's more than radio. It's a way of life. It is 657 AM.
It is 20 minutes to 8 o'clock. You are listening to Radio Pulpit 657 AM, the Steak Station. We go into the Word. We go a little deeper. We love the Word of the Lord. So it's always a privilege to have the people from Apologetics SA in studio. That's John Grobler, who brought with him Mark Phillips. Hello, the two of you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
John, we're going to start off with you because you guys have brought in Mark into South Africa to come speak to us as lay preachers and preachers about something very specific. Why him? Who is he?
We met Mark in the U.S. about a year and a half ago and expressed a desire to come to South Africa. And he subsequently came last year and this year. And he's an educator, pastor, and a Christian apologist that serves as a vice president of academics and is a professor of apologetics at Tri-State Bible College in Ohio in the U.S. And the wonderful thing about Mark is that he bridges the gaps between apologetics and philosophy and where people live as lay people. And as we've just been talking, even while he's here, he's come to teach our students how a person must bring the heart and the mind together in tying it to the truth of the gospel and relating it to society. And so while he's here, he's talking about cultural apologetics, and then he will be talking about apologetics in the early church and how it developed to where it is today.
Okay, Mark, then the normal guy at home, the one with before the first cup of coffee, personality-wise and that, if you had to introduce that guy, who's he?
I am a grandfather of two grandkids. That's my favorite title of all. And I'm a younger pastor at the church where I serve. I'm also administrative pastor of a Baptist church, First Baptist Church of Proctorville, Ohio. So I do bridge the gap between pastoral care and academics and teaching and studying the Bible. So I have a tremendous interest in how to unite all those fields, because so many times in apologetics, students get taught these concepts, but there isn't that additional support in how to apply them in the local church or outside the local church or in just in conversations with people. And I think part of the problem in the American culture, which I don't see here, is that because of the influence of social media and just the general culture at large, where we have a number of non-biblical things coming to the fore and kind of driving our politics, we've lost the art of conversation, of just being normal people who converse with one another and talk about things that matter.
The reason I'm asking you this is because you obviously saw this lack and saw that this is something you wanted to address. Mm-hmm. Did you see it as when you were in ministry, you experienced it for yourself, that is the reason why it is something that fascinates you and that you wanted to address yourself? Or how did this come to your attention?
Well, it came about, of all things, my interest in apologetics began when I was serving in ministry, in children's ministry. And I had a 9-year-old ask me, how can Jesus be fully God and fully man? And at the time, I was so stumped. I felt terrible. I had to fumble some sort of answer. And as over the years, as I've considered that question, to answer them now, I have to consider whether the child is capable of abstract thought. You know, around that age of 7, 8, 9, they start thinking of concepts more than concrete ideas. You know, it's these more abstracted thoughts where thoughts are related. So it depends on the age of the child, but you can communicate certain thoughts. As an example, we have discussed the human soul. So let me bring all this into our discussion here. When we counsel, because I've been trained in certain type of counseling, when we counsel children, particularly to the loss of someone they love, if they're encountering death for the first time, which we all have to face, right? And it's part of the sanctification process to know the cycles of life and how we handle those. And it's different for a child than when you get to be my age. I'm close enough to retire, but I won't do it. There's too much work to be done.
Absolutely.
Right. But we will take a can of soda or perhaps a small bottle of soda, and we'll say, is this what you really enjoy? Is this the soda that you like? And the child will say, no, I've consumed the soda. And I say, well, in one sense, the stuff that is good is no longer in the bottle. The stuff that is good is now present with the Lord. And so this is just the container. And one day the Lord will recreate a brand new container for the person you love. But for now, they're safe and they're protected and they're really better than they were here on earth. And so we counsel children regarding the soul of their loved one. And so pastoral care to me is integrating everything from science to apologetics to popular literature. But first and foremost, dictate that by what the Bible says about us and, quite frankly, why we matter to God. Because yeah. We do matter to God. If he's willing to send his son to die on the cross, we matter to God. And some people struggle with that, and others don't wish to be accountable to a God because they misunderstand him, primarily because they have never spent time in his word.
Which is the truth. Yep. Which is the truth. Yep. We always say that you know that you understand something when you can explain it to a 6-year-old. Mm-hmm. If you can simplify that much, then most probably you have to understand it to be able to do that. And mm-hmm. when you now in South Africa and you're talking about two things, the soul and sanctification, mm-hmm. these two things. So talk to a 6-year-old. And you've now explained the good stuff inside mm-hmm. the container. Mm-hmm. What do you think is, do Christians think is a soul, and what is it actually?
Typically not, but to understand sanctification, the culture in the U.S., particularly among Baptist churches, there's a history of confusion of justification with sanctification. And so if we're looking at a person is three parts, which is body, soul, spirit, which is 1 Thessalonians 5:23, Hebrews 4:12. Generally, in the U.S., there's been an influence of philosophy that says we're just body, soul. And so the idea of the spirit gets subsumed into the soul. So it can be worked around, but it's easier to counsel someone if they understand that they've been made alive in Christ in their spirit. That's your spiritual connection with Christ who's seated in the heavenlies. And then your soul is the battleground, because the body will eventually go into the ground to pay the price for the sin. Jesus doesn't want to put new wine in old wineskins. Yes. We get a brand new wineskin at some point. And as you read these early church fathers that I'll be teaching on next week, the disciples of the apostles, because church fathers sounds like one particular denomination a little too much, or branch of Christianity, but it's just the name we work with. They never separate, and John and I discussed this yesterday over lunch, they never separate Christ's resurrection from our future resurrection. And I think the difficulty for a daily walk with a Christian is these bad things happen to me. Why are they happening to me? And usually they might turn to self-help to figure out how to feel better about the whole thing. When you belong to God, though, and have made a profession of faith in Christ, we are fully justified. We're fully justified. We have been made right.
And new.
Yes, right and new. So something had to be old and dead to be made alive and new. And we would I would contend that's actually the spirit.
The spirit, yeah.
And so the soul is caught in the middle between a body that is aging and can start being full of pain and having problems and will eventually go into the ground, and the soul, which is now connected spiritually to God through the Holy Spirit, the life of Christ within us. And according to the biblical text, Jesus right now is at the right hand of the Father. So we have a longing to be, and we're actually seated with him in the heavenlies, so we have been purified to that extent, that we are now with him while we walk around in a body that wishes to drag us down. Mm. And so the soul is this battleground between spiritual forces that are not good for us, that wish ill on us and wish to disrupt us from focusing on Christ. And so to walk in the spirit, and not walk after the flesh, which is the struggle these days, right? Temptations come at us through the flesh. We have old memories of the old life before Christ, still stored in physical form in our brain. And the Holy Spirit is quietly saying, pay attention, pay attention. And so this sanctification is God's way of reminding us gently and sometimes painfully that we belong to Him, and He, through Christ, is the author and finisher of our faith, and He will finish what He has started. And sometimes that means working the things out of us that hinder our closeness to Him.
Yeah, because sin brings distance.
Right, yes. Right. So sanctification is for our good, not for our bad. It feels terrible when you go through it. For someone who maybe has a diagnosis of cancer, or maybe loses the person they love, or struggles just to keep up in school and fill their plate because people are so busy these days. But it's God's gentle way of saying, look, I'm also doing a purpose with this. As you are conformed to our Lord Jesus and become more like Him as you age, before I bring you home, at some point you're going to be able to tell someone who's now going through this process, well, I went through this process and God brought me out of it. And here's how He will do it. So I will pray with you, and I'll be your friend, and I will comfort you. And when this is said and done, you'll look in the back and say, boy, I wouldn't wish that on anyone else, but I'm glad I went through it.
Yeah.
Because now I'm closer to God in the process.
You see, if you use an eternal perspective, mm-hmm. that gives a lot of great perspective on mm-hmm. whatever suffering we're going through.
Mm-hmm.
It was, especially in charismatic Christianity, we've got this thing that God works everything out for the good, that His plans mm-hmm. for us are only nice and fluffy and wonderful, and therefore God's got to be nice to prove that He loves us. Mm-hmm. Where to me, it seems that God is preparing us to marry the Lamb and mm-hmm. to be equally yoked with Him. He's got a lifetime of work to do to get us to be holy as He is holy. Mm-hmm. And we don't learn the easy way. It seems this sanctification thing is... It hurts because we don't want to listen.
Oh, that is absolutely correct. Yes, we want the good and don't necessarily want the bad. And sometimes we go out of our way to avoid things that can be bad, or we don't think clearly. I think that's another issue. It's easier to think comforting thoughts than really to accept some of the things that are coming our way. And again, what we're saying, you know, yesterday at lunch, John and I have great conversations over...
I can hear that.
Yes, and it's good because it gets me out of my little bubble with my friends, and I come over here and find people who love the Lord are thinking the exact same things, and that encourages me. So when God is... Part of it comes from a misunderstanding of what God is like. And I think people think too smallly in too tiny in terms of Him. I began the week by showing the students a photo from the Hubble Space Telescope of it's 1/32 millionth of the night sky. And within that picture are hundreds of billions of galaxies at the fringe of our universe, which means current estimates of the number of stars in our universe is 200 sextillion.
And I don't even know what you're saying right
yeah,
there,
and
but okay.
Yeah. And the word is very clear. God breathes them. He just says, come into existence, and He knows them each by name. I believe that's Psalm 147. So if He knows each of these 200 sextillion stars, He knows us, and He knows us very well. And He knows us well enough that He was willing to send His Son to die for us. And then He is also willing to carry us back home to make us whole. And so we have this tendency to think that God is just some man on a street that throws lightning bolts, which is usually how the unsaved perceive Him. They perceive Him more like Zeus, who is a false god, than the actual God of the Bible, who is infinite in all things, including His love. He can't love us more, because you can't get more than infinite. He can't love us less, that's less than infinite, but His desire is to conform us to His Son. And so it's fascinating to me that God said, all right, I'll meet you at your level. He condescended. He took on human flesh to speak one or two or three of our languages and look us eye to eye and tell us exactly what He wants and show us the way back to Him. And that should be, our basis as pastors or teachers or just best friends over coffee. He is And the best part of all, and this was part of our conversation yesterday over lunch, because God is eternally present, he's not bound by time. And part of the issue, I think, is people think of God in terms of time. And the struggle with that is, if God sees us right here, right now, 2025, the year of our Lord, at the same time he is witnessing Eve eat that apple, at the same time that he sees us fully resurrected and in our new bodies. And that's how he sees us. But right now, with human limitations, I'm stuck right here, right now, and I've got these bills to pay, and my kids are screaming. My head hurts, and my body's aging. And so if we look at things from his perspective, which reading the word helps us with that, the sanctification process can be a little easier.
Makes so much more sense. Our time is up, so I want to refer people to Apologetics SA. If they would have, because they're missing out if they can't hear the rest of the story here going, how do they connect with you guys?
They just have to go onto our website, apologeticssa.co.za, where you can look at our past conferences and you can keep up to date with what we are busy doing.
And these are recorded? It'll be somewhere?
No, these lectures are not recorded because it's for our full-time students, but we have recorded some of our conferences, all the conferences that we've had over the past number of years, where people can just get a whole breadth of different topics that we've had addressed that are culturally relevant. But it is grounded in the truth of the gospel.
Apologetics SA. Here's Yahweh with Helmut Mayer.